There you go. Okay, we have quorum. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of
7.
We're good to go. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Is there anything to add to the
Wait, I got two templates and no packet.
Here you go.
There's Tom. Anything to add to the agenda from the commission? I would like to add in Mike Morrison. So here's the thing that I didn't talk about. If we put him under other business, that's like way the end. He has to wait. I would like to add him like right now. Do you have an objection to that?
No, I don't.
We're having a discussion about the priorities of the agenda and how, you know, the the planning agenda is pretty precise.
Perhaps we should do the approval of minutes first, then we can slot it in right there.
That would be good. Okay. Everybody had a chance to read the minutes?
Yes, I have changed.
Okay. Let's hear your changes.
Okay, under the project updates by me from last week, on the first one, it says there were now 5 locations for plaques. I moved to strike that. There have always been 5, never anything else. The second one, bids for concrete work might be under budget. That I strike that whole thing. The project is appearing that if we massage things, it will be under budget, but it has nothing to do with the concrete bids.
Okay.
Third one, concerns from Haskins regarding one of the locations were resolved. That's inaccurate. Concerns from Stacy Shelley, private business owner located at Haskins Garage, regarding installation dates and the impact on her business were discussed. Nothing was resolved. It was just a promise that we would communicate with her. So I would have that amended. The next two are fine. The one after that, concerns from the Historic Commission that the plaques did not accurately capture the historic element. I only want that to change, that the plaques will accurately capture the historic element. There aren't any designs proposed yet for the plaques, so Historic has nothing to object to. They've just expressed their concerns that they want to see the historic element properly reflected. Down on the GIS presentation, it's just an incomplete sentence. What I would amend is say a GIS presentation by staff on story map options and the historic Lithia Park tour currently available on the city website.
Can I ask a question about the last one under materials, buff concrete versus standard concrete?
Mm-hmm.
What was that discussion point?
There was some talk that the city requires the new buff color,
right,
which is represented some in front of Haskins. So we were unsure about whether that requirement has been lifted, but the Dale said that the stuff in front of Haskins, in order to blend in with the other stuff, will have to be buff, and that was a little bit more expensive.
So how about making a statement about that? Because this really doesn't tell us anything on
okay.
the thing.
Well, I would just leave. I would just strike it then.
Yeah.
Because we don't have anything definite to tell you yet.
Okay. How about materials discussion of buff concrete versus standard concrete? So, because if you actually talked about it and you reported it, okay. then it should stay in the minutes.
Okay.
Okay, just add
mm-hmm.
that to it.
You're adding one more time, please?
Just this discussion of buff concrete
oh,
versus
okay.
standard.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have a question about PAC work plan. Final templates would not be ready in time for the map process. I'm not sure what that meant. That's probably not you, Stanley. That's probably Andy. It's probably
which bullet point was that?
It was under update RFQ and RFP templates.
Yeah.
Final templates would not be ready in time for the map process. What does that mean?
So again, I don't prepare these. my notes get taken by Dana, who then listens to the transcript and prepares the minutes. I would be back to the audio to...
Well, just cross it out, because that's not true.
They were done and are done, and everybody's happy.
So, Steve, did you have something?
I did a little minor deal on the council liaison report. Councilor Jensen provided a, I'd like to read, provided a report on the budget process. If it reads a council reported, like I brought forth something from the council.
Yeah. Copy.
And I did.
Anything else? All right. Can I have a motion that the minutes be approved as amended? Stanley?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Andy? Okay.
Aaron.
All right. Okay.
We had a motion and a second, but we didn't vote.
You can ask for unanimous consent.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Okay, I'm so focused on getting Mike in and out that to find,
sorry,
find yourself a seat. Why don't you come up here?
So I'm here just to discuss the latest with Velocity, the broken ball that we've all seen. So I contacted the artist. I don't know if you may already know all this part of it, but they got an estimate back to me on, I believe it was Wednesday, for a new ball, and it's very spendy, but kind of like everything has been with that thing. So $15,400 is there to replace the ball for us. Probably take 4 to 6 weeks once we give them the go-ahead. I'm still trying to figure out how it's going to be paid for. It sounds like insurance may pay for at least a portion of it, but we have a $10,000 deductible, so we're trying to figure out where that portion comes from. I think Adam Hanks at City Hall has got some ideas, and we should be able to make it happen, but it hasn't been ordered yet. Hopefully next week we can give them the go-ahead to get that ordered. We took the flange off there, the piece that actually holds the ball, and we'll send that back to the artist down in Napa, and then they'll use that to fabricate the new ball and send it back to us. So while we were at it, we had our mechanics out there. They did the actual removal of that flange, and while they were there, they did a quick inspection of Velocity and found there's some stress cracks at that upper wide piece.
Boy.
So it's fixable, but not exactly sure yet what we're going to do to fix it. So it's just, it's aluminum, it's weldable, we can fix it all day long. It's just getting the equipment to do it. We don't have a welder that can do that. We weren't able to find anybody in the valley that had portable welding equipment, so for aluminum. So we'll probably have to buy a welder ourselves. We were talking about doing that anyway. So we'll get it taken care of. It is fixable, but it's just one more thing with that that we'll have to address.
Did the artist have any explanation on why that ball is so expensive? It's just,
I haven't talked to
them. Seems way too high.
Yes, I agree. They sent me the estimate, and I haven't heard back from them since. I just got it Wednesday.
Would we have an option of just outsourcing the construction of that and bypassing the artist, or getting a bid?
As far as I know at this point, I don't know why we couldn't do that. I was going to try to see if we could find the ball commercially available somewhere.
Yeah, there's
as far as I know, they didn't actually build the ball. They bought it.
Exactly.
And modified it to fit.
So what I want to know, are they marking it up, and that's why it's $15,000?
That's what I'm wondering, too. Yeah. And I'm thinking, probably. So if we could find the source of one, we have people around here. It's just plastic. So
yeah,
it would be machinable.
Right. We all know, that's sometimes a high price is an indication they don't want to monkey with it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought with the last prepare that we asked before. This one, they didn't seem opposed to it. Last time, I definitely got the feeling they didn't want anything to do with coming out here to make the repairs. This time, I think they're more than willing to do this for us, but it's a lot of money. So,
customer service is best.
Can you speak to how it happened and who was involved and all that of it?
I actually don't really know that much about it. I heard it was a 13-year-old kid, and he was climbing on it. But I don't know.
Was it whipped? Or, and
I don't know. Nobody seems to know for sure. I read the police report. Somebody called dispatch to report that it happened, and they reported that two girls in their early 20s had done it. And then later, somebody from Starbucks came out and said it was a kid. And I think finally the kid admitted that it happened, but I don't really know beyond that what caused it. It was thick plastic and really sturdy, so I'm surprised that just moving it around would have done that. It seems like there's more of a story than I know at this point.
Is it worth pursuing?
It's kind of through the police department, so I know that Sandy has talked to Adam. And I haven't been involved in that part of it, and really it's probably not my place to get involved in a police investigation, other than if they ask me replacement costs and that type of thing.
But there could be an opportunity for restitution to help cover that.
So what I heard from Adam yesterday, because my question was the same, is that what I understand is the police chief decided not to charge the kid. And he talked directly to Tina Gray, who is risk management in the city, and did not give any further decision on why not, and apparently it doesn't appear in the police report as well that why he didn't do that. So Adam said there, and you know, I was kind of railing on that a little bit, and Adam said there are other ways for restitution, not to worry. So, his advice to me was to just step back and let the city work on it.
Okay. I have a couple of questions. First of all, I like the idea, too, of pursuing other quotes for replacing that wall. And so, when you said you were going to send the fitting down to the artist, right?
Yep.
So, if we were going to go to the quotes, would it be, assuming we go that direction, would it be a good idea to not send that fitting down there just yet?
Yeah, I won't send it until we have a decision.
Yeah.
Okay. I would come back to you, but if we can find that same ball commercially available, my assumption is it would be a whole lot cheaper, and it would be worth at least us trying to get it fabricated locally. It's not complicated. There's 8 small bulb holes and 1 big hole that the light goes through. So I can't imagine. We could probably do it ourselves in-house. So I won't send it out until we have exhausted the option.
I think it's worth even considering making it smaller than if the inertia was what cracked it. If they got it moving and the thing is so heavy that the inertia cracked it, if the ball were a little smaller and didn't weigh as much, it would reduce the chances of that happening again.
I'll see what I can find, and if there's various size balls available, I don't think that's my decision, but probably your decision. I can bring those options back.
It does have to do with the scale of the piece. Tom, why don't you finish your other question?
I have a second question. I wasn't clear on where the stress, you said the Y has a stress fracture. Is that where it comes to the ground, the Y?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
just,
there's two
just
of
where it held the ball.
upper one is where they're showing some stress cracks. And they're tiny at this point, but they are visible.
Okay.
And with aluminum, in our experience, aluminum just kind of...
Once it starts?
It goes from nothing to failure. There's not other metals, steel will slowly bend. Aluminum, eventually it just breaks.
Okay. So just to clarify, it's the upper Y closest to the steps?
Yes.
Wow. So that probably occurred from the first?
Probably, And the way that they built that, they welded it and then ground all the weld off so that it looked smooth and seamless. But when you do that, it takes away a lot of material, so it makes a weak point. So had it not been for somebody bouncing on it, it probably would have been fine. But that additional stress was probably enough to cause the cracking.
All right.
What is the material made out of that broke?
Plastic? Ball. They just call it acrylic.
Acrylic.
Also, I think you had a question. Okay. Andy?
In terms of the aluminum welding, did you make contact with United Bicycle Institute?
Yeah. I think he would be willing to do the welding for us. It's just having the welder to do it.
I think they do.
Do they have a portable? When I talked to him, my impression was they didn't have a portable. We don't have a way to plug it in out there, so it needs to be completely self-contained.
Did you talk to, Ron, or the guy that I gave you?
Yeah.
Because I believe the owner of the business has a portable aluminum welder that might have been at his home.
We kind of, when we decided to just remove the additional piece, we thought we were done. So now that we've got this issue again, then I'll start investigating further.
They're worth a shot.
All right.
Steve?
So in the spirit of Lincoln's Head, I think at one point they had 2 of them made. I'm wondering if you find a fabricator, and preempt the Vandal Brown here a little bit, is possibly getting two of them made. It's not just an idea.
If I can find a source for the ball, it probably I don't know what they even make them for. I don't know the purpose of those right. balls, but if we can get two, it'd probably be good, because we know that they'll be available in 5 years.
Could we put Lincoln's head on there instead?
Do you have a specification for that ball?
I don't. But I want to go back through the engineered drawings that we have, and I'm not delighted with something.
Yeah. So the interesting opportunity there is, you know, the invisibility of the light due to the thickness, which we thought was protective of the ball. Maybe there's another ball that, you know, would provide different light,
better light
opportunities.
If I'm able to find a different or a source for these balls and they have different options, I'd we'll bring them back to you.
Okay, that'd be great.
I don't feel that's my decision to make, but I would definitely.
There was one other issue with the color of the light. Apparently, the way it was spec'd out, it was supposed to go through a much wider gamut of color than it actually does. I think it was determined that was a...
Mike can answer
that. So surprisingly, we've been told by the artist, and I just assumed that it was true, that white plastic just washed out the colors. So I actually took the remote down there after the ball broke, and the red is not the bright red that you would expect from an LED.
Right.
So the colors that we were seeing are probably actually a little more true to what the LEDs were showing. So at this point, I don't know how we correct that. But it's not the vibrant red and blue that you typically see with colored LEDs.
Question?
So just to follow up on that, you have seen LEDs that emit a brighter white and a brighter blue.
So like all our police cars? Those are all LEDs now, and the bright blue and the bright red, that's just the LED producing that. It's not through colored glass or anything anymore. It's just the LED.
All right. So I think that's definitely something to talk about, as we move through this process, whether we want to respec that fixture and, you know, how we go about it, what the cost is. Good
LEDs
question.
LEDs are relatively affordable now, and we use them on our police car and fire trucks. So if that's something you want to pursue, I can look into some options there, too.
Is that something you want to pursue? Do you want to see a bigger color range, a truer color range through that ball rather than the soft color?
What was Gordon's plan? I mean, I think we need to respect the artist's initial intent here.
He didn't. In my memory, and Richard could verify, he didn't specify bright or soft or anything. He just talked about rolling through a spectrum. So
would that be worth discussing with him, just so that if we decide to enhance the light while we have to do this process anyway, we are respecting his artistic intent.
We can take his input and then make our own decision.
Yeah, and it's not rolling through the spectrum.
Well, I think it is rolling.
It's
through
rolling.
The
it's
it,
rolling
it,
through it, but
yeah.
not in the, not as bright as we expected. I just want to know what he thought.
Yeah. We had an issue at one point where there was whatever happened, a power failure or something, and it wasn't cycling. It was going through two colors.
Yeah.
So I went back down there, and it's now cycling through all the colors it's capable of. But there, it never does have a bright blue or a bright red or the colors that we all expected at the beginning.
Question:
where do you look for the ball?
I was just going to Google it. I don't know. At this point, I assume it's a light fixture.
Yeah,
I don't know what they use them for, so I don't know.
A decorative street light. You go to historic districts, they have those big ones. I mean, I'm sure they're available.
It's so big. It's like, I don't remember if it's 3 or 4 feet across, but it's like these. If we had a bowl, that as a ball.
I think it's bigger.
It's big,
So, you know, I think there's an opportunity here, since we've had some significant failures in the construction, which Gordon might feel ready to take responsibility for. I'm not sure that it wouldn't be fine to talk with him about our wanting to take care of it ourselves and be honest with him about the cost being you know, just a major issue, and see if he might want to cooperate with us on the whole thing.
If possible.
Yeah.
Well, at the very least, I'm sure he didn't build that thing himself. I'm sure he either ordered it off the shelf or had it fabricated. At least he could share the company that made it for him, mm-hmm. and we can deal with them
directly, as
an alternative.
Right. We have a really good relationship with him, and, you know, there's no accusations flying back and forth of, you know, failure of this and failure of that. So I see the opportunity to talk to him and see.
Yeah,
so I don't know if you want to do some work on your own first. You want me to pursue that route? What's your thinking?
I haven't had a chance to search yet. Maybe if they'd be willing to share their source for the ball, that would be great.
Okay.
Or whatever options they come up with. They weren't opposed to us doing the work the first time, and I don't think they'd be opposed to it now. This one's just a little more, welding is welding. You can find people to do that anywhere, but fabricating this ball is a different story. But I'm sure we can figure out a way.
Sandy, okay. I think your perspective with wanting to be open with them and stuff is very generous. I think he's also sending us a pretty clear message that you guys are on your own with his prices, and, you know, he, in terms of the color range, he said, man, what you see is what you get. And so I kind of feel like, as the owners of it now, we should feel comfortable in being able to maintain it to the degree that we have the right to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think perhaps if you want to pursue that nice flow of communication, I think it's great to say, are you comfortable with us taking care of it at this point and just releasing him from it?
I would still rather go the next step and see if he will cooperate with us. You know, I'm sure this is not the only time that something has occurred in his work.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see what his attitude is. As I said, we have what I believe to be a really comfortable relationship with him. And if he backs off, that's fine. If he, you know, I'm gonna have that conversation.
Okay. I guess exploratory conversation.
Yeah,
you'll be able to sense fairly quickly his receptiveness to.
Exactly.
I'm a little disappointed. He's not a little more proactive about communicating with us and making sure that we're happy about it. I feel a little hung out to dry on that one.
To be fair to him, with our first issue with the where the back end had dropped, he actually did pay for an engineer to come up with a new plan and gave us that plan.
Okay.
He didn't ask for any compensation.
All right. Well, then I stand corrected.
They've been. I don't know how excited they are to come here to do things, but as far as dealing with them in emails and over the phone, they're pretty good to work with. Actually.
Okay. Good. That's good to know. Thank you.
Okay. And just a follow-up to that, our project shows in his catalogs, and so I'm sure that he wants it restored to the best of his design sensibility. So I would be betting on lots of levels that he would be comfortable working with us.
Okay.
Steve?
On another matter, I don't read social media anymore because I'm tired of it, but is anybody aware of any blowback from the community on this recent event?
Yeah.
Is it the same old song, essentially?
You know, there was one post that kind of sums it up about how, oh, great, here's another example of city employees and elected officials playing with $200,000 that shouldn't be spent on art. And there's nothing in that sentence that is even accurate.
Yeah.
Well, it's the Trump era. Yeah. What do you expect?
One, it's not public employees. It's not, you know, we're not elected officials. It's $110,000. It's not $200,000.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, you know, and they're saying that, you know, why are we spending money on public art when we've got a $2 million deficit? And Adam chimed in and said, well, it's in the, you know, it's different money. And then the person chimed back and said, well, that should be amended.
Okay.
So,
So the point I'm observation I want to make is, do we need to get out in front of this thing, or do we handle it pretty much like we handled the earlier incident by just lay low in the tall grass?
So what's really interesting to me is there was no news on this. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a brief thing on KOBI, I think, but there was nothing in either paper. Why is that? I was just
really... Yeah, that seems odd to me, too.
I mean, it would have made a great picture for the front of the Daily Tidings.
Of course.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Of course. I made a beeline out there waiting for that.
Boost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
The bubble is 96 inches in diameter.
So we can talk about that. I want to just let Mike get going. There was another question over here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, well... I'm wondering if it wouldn't be a good idea to speak a little proactively at some point, maybe not now, before you have a conversation with the artist regarding going forward, what we might expect. I mean, I don't know what you all think about these issues we've had relative to how long the art's been there. I guess it's nothing too abnormal for public art after...
To have vandalism to public art?
Well, we know that's somewhat common, right?
No.
I mean, it happened. No? Okay. So what are we dealing with? A conversation about what has happened, what might happen in the future, right? I don't know. We do the welding on the aluminum. What should we expect? You know, how long would that last? Those kinds of conversations that might come into a conversation with the artist going forward, where we might try to think a little bit forward about what we might be facing with this art and vandalism.
So just a response to that,
yeah.
Mike and Dave Lohman, the city attorney, and Kelly Matting, and Aaron and Fotini and I all met to chat about what do we put in the next, this was my agenda, but it, you know, kind of grew. What do we put in the next RFQ, for instance, to begin to protect the city? And at that point, we said, well, we have a camera up there. And Dave Lohman said, well, we've got to talk about that because cameras are not really permitted except on a one-by-one basis. So Mike never turned that camera on.
Well, it's ready to go, but the decision was made that cameras... Actually, I don't know if the decision has fully been made yet, but cameras still are not just authorized wherever we want them.
I was going
to
ask you to speak to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we had a study session on that issue, and the overall sentiment was lukewarm to a general, even establishing a general camera policy. What they seem to be headed towards is, and Dave Lohman was asked to bring back, you know, some possible code or guidelines. They almost wanted to do it on a case-by-case basis. The other interesting thing, too, is, and Mike might be able to speak to this, is cameras that are mounted on private property can be pointed towards public spaces. It can be pointed towards their doorway or the side of the light in front of them. It's my understanding that that's permitted. Then there was a whole piece of, is it an invasion of privacy if you're walking by and you are videoed, if that's a violation, and it's not. What is violation is if there's audio involved, where they can not only video you, but also hear you. That becomes a problem even with private cameras. There are private cameras all over the world on buildings, and particularly London, Europe, so we all know that. I'm wondering if we could make an arrangement with, just think outside the box here, is make an arrangement with Starbucks.
Yeah.
A little private contract with Starbucks and then work out some kind of arrangement where they would be able to direct one of their, or a camera, and then maybe avoid, and I don't know if that would be considered to be surreptitious or whatever, but...
Have they got cameras now?
I don't know.
Starbucks?
Yeah, I don't know.
So actually, it probably would be the building owner, wouldn't you think?
Right.
OSF?
Right.
That we would want to talk to.
Right.
But
so anyway.
we have this perfectly good camera.
Yeah.
And I would go forward on a case-by-case basis. Now, I think we have a case for them to for council to agree to turn on this camera. They did it at the skate park. Certainly, they would want to do that now since.
So there's further information. There's a whole body of work been done on cameras, and actually, almost like PhD capstone projects on examining the effect on crime of cameras. And there's enough history of cameras out there where they can gather some data, and so on and so on. Unfortunately, and I don't have it here in front of me, but unfortunately, in many cases, cameras do not prevent the crime. They just create a little safe zone, and one of the effects is it moves crime someplace else. If somebody's going to be bad, they're going to be bad somewhere. This may not be in front of the camera. Which, for our purposes, as far as our philosophy piece, that's fine.
Yeah.
Go do your, go hang on something else, but don't hang on that. So, and then the other thing too, the signage is really important. You know, this area is under video surveillance, and people feel
heads up.
Yeah, kind of like that. So, anyway, there's a it's a like so many issues out there. We would think it would be a simple, but it's not simple. So,
I think it's a bit of a double standard that if the city's not going to allow surveillance on that spot, yet they're allowing. There's two cameras on top of City Hall that point, one points right at us and another one points at the visitor station, and all you have to do is just Google that and they're on 24 hours a day and anybody can go look at them. There is no audio, but they are on all the time, just like a road cam.
The exception for that one was they don't record. It's just live video. That's where we were told that it's the recording that becomes the issue.
Okay.
The only places where we have cameras now that record are the skateboard park and up at our water plant at the dam.
Okay.
So I would like to propose that we begin to either talk to council. We put into action a request that that camera be turned on. And you can guide us through the process of that, Steve. Okay. All right. Any other questions of Mike?
Are you making a formal recommendation to council?
I will, but I'm going to let Mike go first.
Okay, gotcha.
Or I'm going to take direction from Steve, I think, is what I'd like to do. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But are there any other questions of Mike? Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
I'll come back when I find him.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
What is Mike doing?
I'm sorry?
What is Mike?
He's the supervisor, or pardon me, the superintendent of public works.
Is that what Scott Fleury was or still is, or what's...
I don't know what Scott's title is off the top of my head, but I can certainly get that information for you.
I think Scott's just under Mike because Dale's working with Scott on the concrete.
So, I was thinking the other way around, that Scott... Okay,
no, you're correct. Okay, let's just kind of wrap this up. Steve, what do you think our process should be?
For the camera?
Yes.
Let me check with Dave Lohman and see if he is moving forward on a possible suggested policy that they might bring back to council if he's moved forward on that, because that kind of was his mandate, but kind of the request from council is to possibly bring back and even an ad hoc policy, case by case, and what that looks like. And also check with Kelly Madding on that also. Let me just see where they're at.
Okay.
And see if we can get fired up a little bit. And if it is on a case by case basis, let's have this be the first case.
Yeah.
You know.
So just a little side off the record here is Dave seems to be overwhelmed with work. Mm-hmm. And so could I request that if you don't get a response from him moving forward because he's got bigger fish to fry,
right,
that you take another direction for us?
Okay. Let me talk to him. I have a good relationship with him. And don't be straight up and say, man, I'm buried. Or,
I know.
You know, he might be able to, you know, Katrina Brown is part of his staff. So there's two.
Katrina Brown.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Is part of his staff too, so let's see what his dance card looks like,
great,
and then I will report back. Do we want to wait a whole month on that, or
I'd like to do it right away. I mean,
turned on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a while. Obviously, it's going to be probably more than a month before we're back up and rolling. But let's get.
Is it worth is it worth an advisory vote from this body today to
it is.
Instruct or to advise that I move forward on this and that
request.
And that, you, that it has your blessing, our blessing, to turn it on? I think it'd be useful to do that.
Okay,
and
I totally agree. Yeah. All right, is there anybody that cares to make that motion?
So moved.
Well, okay.
Making a motion to have the PAC request that the surveillance cameras be turned on.
ASAP.
And request, I think, is the right word rather than instruct.
Right.
Is that enough for you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any? Is there a second to that? Allison has
second.
A second.
I'm sorry, who made the motion?
Andy made the motion.
Yeah.
I skirted. So to speak.
So, further discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, that's great.
One more question about the light fixture itself is really exposed right now. I wonder if it'd be worthwhile to put some sort of protective closure over it. I don't know whether it's vulnerable to weather in its exposed state right now. I'm just wondering.
I'll ask that question to Mike.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good question. If someone else climbs up there and they touch it, do they get electrocuted?
That's right.
It's low voltage, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is probably.
Like some kind of a plywood structure.
I'm sorry.
It's helpful.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Okay. Anything else on this issue? All right. So, Councillor Jensen?
I'm sorry, I just came to my mind. May I end this last question?
Sure.
When we put the light fixture back up, is there a way maybe to add some kind of strong sign that says, please stay off this?
There's already a sign that says exactly that. Do not climb on the sculpture. And then there's another sign that says, you are under video surveillance.
Oh, and one other thing. I noticed also, I think, unless it was put somewhere else, the plaque, the name of the piece and the artist.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that anymore.
It's up at the top, isn't it?
No. It sits on the base, but someone pulled it off and scratched it up.
Oh,
so
okay.
Mike's getting it
buffed up. Okay.
So
that answers that.
Good questions. Okay. Councillor Jensen.
Sandy, excuse me. Do we want to... Get the vote taken care of before Stanley has to leave.
You know, I just looked at my calendar. I don't have to be there till 10, so
okay.
I'm probably going to be fine.
All right. Thank you for the reminder.
So I want to I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable about my report because I kind of give this broad brush stroke of what we've got coming and what we just did and so on. But it has... Admittedly, it's very hard to be objective on this and just tell you what happened. I kind of give my flavor and so on and so on. The other thing, too, is I really do talk about, I have in the past anyway, about things that are really not related to this Public Arts Commission. I kind of do this kind of cornucopia of stuff. And it's dependent upon me what I think is important or not think is important and so on and so on. I wonder if I had to just really narrow it down to something and what you folks you think would be, number one, appropriate, and number two, valuable or not.
So I'm going to respond to that, and then I'm going to ask the rest of you to respond. So in the past, it has been standard for the council liaison, to give a wide synopsis of what's going on in the city. I think it has always been felt that we're part of the city family, and people ask us, oh, did you hear about that? Mm-hmm. And so that you can give a good, accurate response, we are given that information. Plus, we're all curious about, you know, as citizens and, having the opportunity to serve on this commission and hear firsthand some of the reasoning behind the decisions on the council, I think has always felt like a lovely privilege. So from my perspective, I love the broad brush stroke.
Yeah, I'll second that.
I'll third it.
I like that, and as far as you adding your flavor, I like your palate.
I like what you serve. If I could comment, I was on Historic for 9 years, and we got squat. and it's been a refreshing change to come here and get information. Usually the liaison didn't even show up.
Yeah.
So I knew nothing of what was going on. And since I don't touch any social media with a 10-foot pole, it's useful to me to know what's going on. So I would agree. Having knowing what's really happening up there is useful.
It's one of my favorite parts of the show.
Yeah.
So just one quick.
Go ahead. No.
Just one quick question. I was hoping you could. Out of, was there 22 candidates coming out of the Democratic Party? I would like for you to at least give us a sense of who's coming out of that so I can make some planning. Other than that.
The other thing that you should know, and I'm just going to stick it in here, is that the mayor is no longer doing his breakfast once a month. Mm-hmm. No, lunches.
Lunch, brown bag
mayor's
lunch.
Lunches.
Yeah.
And so we have no understanding of what the rest of the commissions are doing, what's going forward, what the mayor is thinking. So any information that you can provide to us is most, you know, useful.
Steve, I would like to know whether the city of Ashland is harboring any of these rogue Republican senators failing to show up
for the climate change.
Sounds like we're all on the same page. All right.
Okay. Budget. We passed the budget. It's balanced. There were some cuts. Administration took a hit. Firefighters did not take a personnel hit, but they took $100,000 hit out of their budget. But just to give you a little perspective on that, they have by far the most expensive budget of any city entity. And it's over $9 million. Now, some of that's pass-through money. Some of that's pass-through for fire, for Forest Service work, and so on and so on. Still, for them to carve $100,000 out of $9 million, it's a little painful, but it's doable. Yeah. And Dave Shepard, who has stepped in as acting chief, was very compliant, isn't the right word, but very helpful, and I can do this. Let's move forward. So that's useful. Your property taxes are going up. Just to give you an idea, if you have a, and you can prorate it in your own mind what that's going to look like, if you are sitting on a $300,000 house in Ashland, which...
do they exist?
$300,000 house in Ashland, your property taxes are going to go up $13 a year.
Oh.
So it's not... it's not a backbreaker by any stretch. We did not increase the meals tax, and we did not increase the TOT tax, so which makes some people happy. Now, we did increase the forest resiliency by $3, and then so it went up to like $5 or something in that range. Once again, not a backbreaker, and that seems insensitive sometimes to say that, but you know the reality is, and there's mechanisms and utility bills for people to get help if they need help. If you have a hard time with that increase, you can make your case, and they're very receptive here to giving you a break on the utility bill. It was an okay process. We're sorry to lose Mark Welch, our budget guy. He really pushed this thing forward and opened it up to transparency, and the new open.gov software that they've got is absolutely fantastic. And it took a lot of the wind out of the sails of folks who were talking about lack of transparency and we're trying to hide stuff and so on and so on. It's a challenge to go into it, just like we've all dealt with new software. I mean, it's got more menus and sub-menus and side buttons and all ways to manipulate the graphs and so on and so on, and it's really a wonderful deal. In fact, I don't know if you know the story about Mark Welch, but that's where he went. He went to work for Open.gov because he was so good at it, and he's probably making probably twice or three times as much money he's making for the city. So but he's very passionate about it. But he also lives locally, and he has made himself very available, even outside of his termination agreement, to the city to help out and to keep us sharp on that. The interesting thing is at least in the near term, Kelly has decided to not replace that position. She's kind of promoted from within and did some reassignments, and she has a pretty good understanding of finances and so on. And so in light of the budget shortfall and with the rearrangements, they're going to try to move this forward and see how that works out. So I feel good. I feel good about it. Probably the most important thing that came out of this, besides a balanced budget, is we are setting up, we're in the process of doing it, but it's a little clunky right now, we haven't quite got there, is an ad hoc committee to look at two things. The mayor doesn't like us to use this term. He likes the term creative ideas, but it's really revenue enhancement, which is another euphemism for finding new money. And that usually means raising taxes, TOT, meals tax, add-on a public safety fee, blah, blah, blah. There's a whole range of things out there. But the other thing they're going to look at on the revenue side is a levy. A levy. The chances of putting it on the November ballot are about slim to none because of the timeline. We don't meet often enough to really craft that in a way that's going to be ballot-ready. So it might be next May, but for sure there's going to probably be some kind of an operating levy, a sustainability levy, a resilience, or any number of euphemisms out there to talk about getting more money from people in order to run our city. And so we've squeezed it just about as far as we can squeeze it from the cost-cutting side without making serious. And we've done it as a budget process, believe me, and you can tell by some of the machinations and wiggling and all the things we've done, but we've squeezed that one just about, and we can nickel dime it. We can probably squeeze another, possibly $200,000 out of the budget, but that's not going to address the big budget shortfalls that are structural when it comes to PERS and healthcare costs and benefits and so on and so on and so on. Anyway, so that's one prong of the ad hoc committee. The other prong is, and we're still deciding whether it's going to be two committees or not. And then here we go. Rich Rosenthal made a good point the other night because he was not in favor of two committees. He said if we do two committees, we're going to be the city in the state of Oregon that has by far the most commissions of any. you can commission yourself to death here, and then when it's all said and done, there's way more said than done with a whole lot of talk. So. But the other side of it, of course, would be operational cost-cutting and creativity. Now, there is some creativity out there. For instance, one city, my mayor came back from a conference, one city made some arrangement, and this is like nationwide, some arrangement with the local, with the statewide Department of Transportation, where they took over the management of some roads and a rest area, and the city took it on. And they were able to do it dramatically cheaper than the Department of Transportation. And so they just saved a bucket of money by the Department of Transportation compensating them for taking care of this. So there's some outside the box. We have some assets that could be sold. We have, we've got the Hardesty property, and then we got B Street lot. And the idea is to clean up the B Street lot, sell it, and move everything down to the Hardesty property. And so that's going to generate, the people. Anyway, there's some... And then there's the whole ambulance District 5 thing, which is really needs to be looked at. The ambulance service comes up for rebid or renegotiation in 2020, whether it be Action Fire and Rescue or Mercy Flights, and that's coming down. And that really needs to have a eyes open, in my opinion, look at it, and with no sacred cows, we look at it from a service, from costs, from personnel, and so on. The other big thing is the possibility of combining, and I know this is heresy in some areas, but combining Ashton Fire and Rescue with District 5. And it's done all over the country where instead of having these multiple layers of administration with these small entities, as we combine it, just like a school district, unified such and such school districts combined. And there's pluses and minuses for that and so on and so on. Anyway, long short is, going forward, we really have to look at those things seriously and come up with some options for our next biennium, because this train, this shortfall train is on the track, and we took care of it for the short term, but we haven't taken care of it for the long term. Okay. ID, date of birth ordinance.
Yeah.
Very hot button issue. The other, we voted on it, and we passed it 5-1. We had 16 people show up, which is a lot to speak to it, and every one of them voted, strongly advised us against that. People of color, LGBTQ LGBTQ community. They spoke passionately about it, and we understood, and we actually modified the ordinance. We modified it to sundown every year. So we, and the police chief has data sets that he had, that is already in motion to present to us. So a year from now, it goes away unless we reenact it. And I think that made some of the folks feel, you know, better about the ordinance. It is not as onerous. It's not a stop and frisk. It is not action police jackbooted thugs, you know, walking through town demanding ID from people. It's not the APD singling out houseless and folks that feel vulnerable and so on. I don't think that any city in this country has a better police chief, as far as I'm concerned. He is incredibly proactive and sensitive, transparent, and demanding of his force that they treat folks with dignity and respect, and it's definitely starting to show. I asked Kelly Manning, I said, well, what are the other cities in the Valley doing about this? Homeless and issues, and they said, a lot of cities are just ignoring the McNally ruling, which is the one where you can be passive and not have to give your name and date of birth. I won't go to the weeds on that. It's a little complicated legally, but she was animated about the homeless. She said, Central Point doesn't have a homeless problem. The way they deal with the homeless problem is the police cruiser will come up, have a conversation with the homeless person and say, where can we take you? End of story. We're happy. Happy to take you somewhere. Yeah, we can take you to St. Vincent de Paul in Medford, or we can take you, but you can't be here. Uh-huh. And so far, it seems to work. That policy would never happen here, and I'm okay with that policy not happening here. That's, you know, not the way we want to deal with the issue, but it still continues to be an issue, as we all know. So anyway, the ID data birth ordinance is in place. We had the first reading, second reading, the next meeting, and it'll probably be in place within a month. Ashland Canal is coming down.
Ashland Canal.
Yes, sir.
Is that having a deterrent effect? Or
the ID data birth? Uh-huh. A deterrent effect?
Well, I mean, is it... I don't understand completely, but is it meant to be...
It allows the APD to write a citation. They couldn't write a citation, and it was.
Even if you don't have a ID,
they don't ask for ID. All they want to get from you is your name and your date of birth. You do not have to produce any driver's license. You don't have to tell them anything more than that. But and the only time this comes up is if you have and there's probable cause, which is a higher standard of evidence. Of having committed a violation with the open container, dog off a leash, and they're really minor stuff. They're called a Class C misdemeanor, which is something that you normally would not be arrested for. It's just a citation. But with this McNally ruling that talked about passive resistance, it allowed somebody just to remain passive there and not give their name and date of birth. And it got out on social media among the houseless traveler circle to where they would start they were starting to use that as a way to not be held accountable for their behavior, and then the policeman couldn't write the ticket. There's nobody, you can't give your name and date of birth. There's no citation with any kind of accountability, you know, because when you write a citation, you've got to appear or you've got to pay the fine. I mean, there's some follow up process to just like your traffic ticket. You can't just tear it up and throw it out the window because down the road. It's going to come back on, you know, to haunt you. So, anyway, I feel good about the fact that it's going to be reviewed within a year, and if it's found to be abused or ineffective or there's some other kink in it, then we'll take another look at it. So, last thing I want to talk about real quick is, unless you had any questions, was the Ashland Canal. That's the next hot button one that's coming down. There's a very vocal group of Ashland Canal residents who have offered up other proposals and so on and so on. So we'll see. We'll see. The bottom line, as far as I'm concerned, we're still losing 62 million gallons of water that we purchase and is a vital backup for our drinking supply that is wandering out in the weeds and cracks and in the 2 mile stretch of the Ashton Canal. So we'll take a look at it, and I think it's going to come up for a vote probably mid-July, first part of August.
And, a vote meaning talking about the options that were presented before?
Right, right. Which plan to proceed forth? Whether it be the full piping, whether it be partial piping and some sealing, whether it be entire sealing and then not redoing the pipe, or do nothing at all, or whatever. The money that would come to pay for whatever it was, would it be $2 million, $3 million, $1 million, comes from the water fund. It will not mean an increase in taxes. It's money that is a part of the capital improvement projects, and it's part of the ongoing infrastructure repair.
Would that mean that if a pipe is built, then there's no longer like a flowing
right.
water in the canal?
Right.
And
no.
So were the objections on aesthetic basis?
Right. There's a variety of objections. The aesthetics, the trees that would have to come out, the ambiance, which is part of the aesthetics, the disruption of the of the neighborhood, and so on.
So there'd be no water flowing. There'd just be a pipe.
Just pipe. It would be a forest road, essentially a maintenance road over the top of the pipe.
But no water goes through the pipe. You're just covering the water to protect
right,
the
right,
battery.
Right, 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 right.
Well,
so
no,
there's
I meant
water.
Yeah.
Right, but you just don't. Right now, you can hike along and it's really
right,
gorgeous.
Right, right. Which is from April through October, and then the rest of the time it's a dry riverbed. So anyway, that's coming down the pike, and so, one more, City Hall. So interestingly, City Hall, they're looking at some options and so on, and we're all going to tour Briscoe School in the next month or so, because Briscoe School is back because of all the options, Briscoe School is significantly more cost-effective to move the entire operation. It would move this operation. It would move City Hall operation. All out to a revamped Briscoe School with still close to downtown, enormously improved parking for people coming and going. Mm-hmm. And aesthetically,
it's great.
It's a great building.
Yeah.
You know, and but it still preserved parkland in the upper part.
It would.
And so on. Yeah. And it's still within a block or two of the downtown area.
Then you can sell this building.
Yep, right. But this building here is, we're trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, you know. As my father-in-law, who's passed away, and he did lots of remodels and so on, he said, you remodel an old building, and you still got what?
An old building.
You know.
I think it's responsible of the city to have employees in that building.
Yeah. I really do.
So anyway, that's another hot button issue that's being kicked around, and we'll be seeing more of that.
So the city owns that building?
The Briscoe?
Yeah. No, this one.
Yeah.
So if you moved, would you rent that out?
Well, that's another little down in the weeds thing here. So when the Hellman family deeded that chunk of property to the city, it was the original deed reads to be used for civic purposes, and there's some other language in there, and so on. There are the historical folks, our favorite individual included, that claim that clouds the title, and that if that building could not be sold because of the original intent of the owner who essentially deeded it to the city. Some of the legal folks say that probably wouldn't hold up. The city could do that, but it's going to be a dogfight. There we go.
Wow, such good information.
Yeah,
awesome.
Really.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
Hey.
All right. Well, Andy, jump into which goes first.
All right. I gave a real detailed report on it last month. I think the only significant things that have changed since I gave that was that Dale and Peter are looking to enhance the short narratives a bit for the plaques. They felt that perhaps the narratives were a little too short. I'm waiting to see what they're going to come up with. They thought they'd have it ready by the time that I gave this report today, but I haven't heard anything back. So when I ask for an approval, I'm hoping that your vote won't be delayed by the content of the narrative. It will basically be what's here, but I think they just want to embellish it a little.
So how does that play out with the fabricator? Is the fabricator obliged? Do you see that the fabricator is then obliged to do a longer narrative, or do you, would you take a recommendation from the fabricator that, ah, that's a little too long, it's going to, you know, proportionally it's going to be weird?
The latter.
Yeah.
Good.
And the only other significant change was we actually came to a vote on the QR code or URL issue on the plaques, and the MAP members that were present voted to have a short URL cast into the bronze.
Right.
It was a 4-1 vote, I believe.
Would you like to comment on that?
Yeah,
for
our
edification?
Yeah, the issues were a QR code. You can't put a QR code in the bronze because there's not enough contrast for your smartphone to pick up the QR code. And so what some people have done in the past is they just have a little blank square and people put a QR code sticker on that that's white background, black letters. Aesthetically, that's not great, but people do that. The objection to putting a URL is URLs aren't durable. And I think I argued that they kind of are, if you own it and make sure you renew it. And if the actual URL that's pointing to changes, you can do a simple redirect so that initial URL will always go to whatever URL the city wants to send it. So that was the rationale for doing that, and you know, I think it's a good one. I think everybody didn't like the QR code sticker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, and as far as a short URL, we decided not to use a Bitly. Everybody know what a Bitly is? It's a company that provides short URLs for long links.
Yeah.
It's a private company. Who knows how long they're going to be around. I think a Bitly URL is probably more susceptible to expiring than just a regular URL. So I'm trying to remember who researched and found some pretty great short URLs.
I think that was Peter.
Yeah, Peter did. I don't remember what they were. Do you? They were, yeah. But, I mean, short ones. Mm-hmm. So you're not having to type much, so.
Okay, so a person would have to physically type that in.
Right, right.
And as I, you know, as a non-techie person, you know, it has short, it has lowercase, it has uppercase, it has numbers, it has slashes, da da da. Are we going to see that?
No, it'll be short.
Short and sweet.
No numbers, no slashes.
Okay. Give me an example of just roughly.
I'm trying to remember some that he researched that were available. Ashland Map, I think, was one.
Yeah, I think it would still be www.ashlandmap.com.
Yeah,
.com.
Yeah, these days you don't really need to put the www. Uh-huh. Everybody can know
ashlandmap.com.
that. Yeah, something like that.
That's great.
And he had a couple examples of short ones. You know, that would be, yeah.
All right.
I
have a question, and I believe we touched on it before, but I'm trying to recall, was there just a general disagreement of the idea of loading or downloading an app? Was there big
challenges to something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think that people are protective of their app real estate on their phones. And, you know, I think for somebody to actually download an app requires a lot of buy-in from them that this is going to be really great for me. The problem with downloading an app for this instance, they're here in Ashland for a brief time. Mm-hmm. Why would I download an app for the 3 days that I'm here?
But you can always get rid of the app when you leave.
Yeah, but people don't. I mean, my phone, I have 100 apps there, and I know I should get rid of most of them, but I don't.
When I came back from Europe, I downloaded 5 apps. Yeah. You know, it's just, and I'm not much of a techie, so it was a bit of a challenge to get them in the first place and then to go in there and actually clean things up. And I just, that's cumbersome for most people. Short and sweet.
Okay, back to you.
Okay, so the RFP is finished with ton of help from Sandy on that one. Thank you so much. I wrote the rationale as to why we are direct commissioning Masterworks. I hope you all have had a chance to read it. What I'm asking for from you now is your vote of approval. The subcommittee, you know, really belongs to the two parent commissions, and so we can do the heavy lifting, but without your we need approval from Historic and approval from PAC. And I'm asking for that so that we can move forward and send the RFP off and get this thing rolling.
Can I ask one other question, which is, are you planning on, where it talks about the deadline for receipt of a proposal, are you planning on putting actual dates in there?
I think that would be appropriate for Fotini to plug in the date on the day that she sends it.
Mm-hmm. I would totally agree. Okay, so...
Do I make the motion asking for approval of the direct commissioning and the
you
RFP?
Should. Yeah. So moved? Is that
so
what you're
moved.
Telling me?
So moved.
Wait, that's mine.
I'm making a motion asking for approval of the direct commission process under Municipal Code 2.29.100.
Can you say that again, please?
Municipal Code 2.29.100.
Thank you.
The process of acquiring public art. And I'm asking for approval of the RFP.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? We're voting on two items, approval of the RFP and approval to direct commission. Got it?
Yep.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else that you want to report on?
I just want to say I want to thank Andy.
Oh, my God.
He's done so much work. He's done such a good job. And it just relieves me of all guilt. So, I just really appreciate it. And the work he's done.
I would add on to that. You know, Andy has reached out to me for recommendations, been really patient, has gone ahead and taken the recommendations. So it's been a great process. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so are you done with your report?
Yes.
Okay. So the templates, did they get printed?
Yes.
Yeah, they're here.
Oh, yeah? Here they are. Okay. So on my computer, they show draft. I guess some of them are draft. The RFP doesn't have a draft on them. But would you consider these, please, all draft templates? I did one as a standard RFQ for a site-specific public art installation. And this is the model that we used for Threshold. Selection of one artist, asked them for several concepts, and included 2 site visits. I'm going to ask you to run through these mark them up, circle whatever you don't understand, whatever you like to discuss, and then next meeting I'll be happy to take your comments on them. RFQ template 2 was a model that the MAP was going to use initially, and I thought it was probably a viable one, and it might come up again, where we select three artists, we pay them for conceptual designs, we don't ask them to come to town. Maybe we'll never use it, but it's there in case there's a variation. So again, these are model templates that I anticipate will be morphed around, you know, per the particular project that comes up, but it gives you something as a basis to begin working from.
Which one is template 2?
Look at the very top of the page,
the last
and it
page.
Talks to you.
Oh, okay, RFP template 1. RFP template 1.
Last page. Below that. There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Right. Okay. Then I did an RFP template based on the MAP process and the MAP RFP. So, again, I am really happy to make modifications. As you know, a year from now, I will not be here to answer those questions. So I'm trying to download to be helpful to the commission going forward. Okay.
Are you moving?
No, I'm termed out. Remember you told me we were termed out, Richard and I.
Can't you be like FDR and
yeah.
Your,
This is something I'd like to get clarification on from you representing council. This came up when I resigned from historic after 3. I was termed out, 3 3-year terms. And the ordinance says 2 3-year terms, and you could have one more if circumstances allow or something.
Right.
I don't remember exactly the wording. And when I submitted my resignation to historic, they all said, what term limit? We've all been here for 30 years, you know, and they have. Forever. So nobody was respecting the term limits. Why is this commission expected to respect the term limits when others do not? Is there a consistency? Has this been discussed? What's the rationale?
Okay.
Et cetera.
I can't speak to that.
So I can. There has been some inconsistency among different commissions.
Yeah.
Planning Commission is a good example of a commission that has really been on point with the reappointment of commissioners and election of officers. We should have technically had an election of officers after everyone's reappointment. And there's been, I need clarification from administration about that reappointment process. The Tree Commission especially has gone through some cases where they haven't actually had an elected chair for quite some time. So some of that falls on the staff liaison, and, you know, I'm still coming up to speed to a certain degree. Some of that is simple inertia. I was just looking for the actual section of the code that discusses it. My recollection is the term that someone can be on a commission, it's basically, it says 3 terms, and then the mayor shall give consideration to other applicants. And there's a provision in there where if there aren't other interested parties who are wanting to be a commissioner, they can stay on as a commissioner if the mayor so chooses. In terms of officers, though, you can only be a chair or vice chair for 2 terms, 2 annual terms.
Okay. The pushback or the comment I got when I resigned from historic from the 5 members who'd been there long before me,
mm-hmm.
after 9, was, well, there aren't any applicants.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if you build it, they will come. There aren't applicants because there aren't openings. And immediately I opened up, another person opened up, and immediately there were applicants. Mm-hmm. So this is a cart before the horse kind of thing. They say, well, there's no applicants. Well, there's no applicants because there's no openings because nobody's being pushed out.
That's not true for all commissions. Tree Commission currently has two vacancies, for example.
But how many applicants were there before there were a vacancy? Were vacancies?
There haven't been
that's
for that commission.
That's my point, mm-hmm. is that until there is a vacancy, mm-hmm. there often are not applicants because people look and they say, well, there's no opening. So it's a self-limiting thing, whereas if the ordinance were pursued a little bit more clearly and vigorously, and openings happened, people would apply because they would say, oh, there is an opening.
You are right.
And we need the fresh blood.
And there's been in some commissions, you know, a casualness with dealing with the reappointment
right.
process. And what I can tell you is that we're trying to sharpen our pencils and, right. and get on that. And really, you are correct. There ought to, I mean, because technically there's positions that open every year. Mm-hmm. And what we need to ensure as staff is that, okay, we know we have two positions that are opening up because of the three-year term limit, and some period of time prior to that reappointment, which happens April 30, those vacancies should be advertised.
Yes.
And I'm hearing exactly what you're saying, and that's something that falls to staff liaisons and their supervisors. And it's something that we are working on, sharpening our pencils and make sure that we are doing that more diligently.
Because I really, it's like that, if we really want the public to engage mm-hmm. with what we're doing, we need to make sure that process is
absolutely
functioning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're still going to miss Sandy.
Well, I'm setting you up for success.
You can still be on the commission.
I
if
could.
The mayor invokes this.
That's correct.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So
whether she wants
last
to be
question on this topic. So when are you getting kicked out?
April. Or the end of April. I can't remember.
End of April.
Okay. End of April.
We got time to figure this out.
Yeah. Right.
And as Councilor Jensen just said, if Sandy had an interest to remain on the commission and if there wasn't an interested applicant to take that spot, the mayor could choose to reappoint her as a commissioner, but I believe she wouldn't be able to be a chair or vice chair.
Chair or vice
yeah.
chair, right.
Yep.
Would you be interested in doing that, by the way?
I have to think about it.
Okay.
At this moment, I would say no.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
My kids, if you need an answer now, the answer is no.
Yeah. Okay, seeing nothing else on the agenda, I'm ready to adjourn.
Oh, I have a question.
What is your question?
What happened about the Japanese ladder?
Yeah, that just fell apart. We haven't heard another thing.
So we made our recommendation to the Parks Commission. I know that in their following regular meeting that they were to take that up. I was hoping that Joel Heller would be here to actually be able to speak to that. I will make a point of reaching out to I'm trying to think of who my
Mike,
point of contact is there.
Mike Gardner?
Yeah, Mike Gardner. And reporting back to you guys at the following meeting.
Because there was supposed to be that tour?
Yeah, we
there
had
was.
The tour.
Oh,
we had
there
two
was.
Tours.
There was.
Oh, I didn't know.
But see, I didn't hear about the second one. I didn't get any notice. I was at the first one, and then I didn't get a notice of the second one, that there was an actual something happening. Just
the notice was sent out by the Parks Commission.
I didn't get it.
Okay, I that was handled by the Parks Commission because it was their noticing, and I was told they were going to send it to all of.
It
you
was.
As well.
Yeah,
I was
I
waiting
that.
For it.
Did you receive it?
I did.
I didn't receive it.
Too. Tom, did you get a notice?
Jeff, you actually replied to me that you would be there.
That was the...
It was a long time ago. It was 2 weeks ago.
The second one?
Second one, yeah.
I
that
didn't
was
really think
the first
it was
one.
The Parks.
Right.
I got the one that said, you can choose one of
yes.
these, and I didn't matter.
That was through the first... I saw you walk through and explore the site the day before.
To hear which one was chosen.
Yeah, because you
didn't
happen.
I did.
Okay.
And I went.
Anyway,
so apparently,
I'm
not on the Parks Commission's list. I got the thing that you sent out.
Right.
But I didn't get anything from the Parks. Because I was actually looking for it.
Yeah.
And I don't have that many emails. It's not like it's going to get lost. I'm way under the radar.
I don't know where they got it from then. They, you know, they should have taken it right off of our website.
That was my understanding. So, I mean, the fact that half of you got it and half of you didn't, I'm not sure where exactly to follow up. But I'm sorry.
I can give a little bit of an update on that. I had a pretty detailed discussion with Mike about after the meeting happened. There was an issue that the plaque was going to make mention of the internment camps. That was basically scrapped. It was a non-issue at the meeting in the park. I think Terry perhaps decided that there was no way that one was going to fly, so he didn't even bring it up. But I was surprised because that was one of the things I was really keeping an eye out for. And people that were on the Signs, Plaques, and Memorials subcommittee were present in the park for that meeting. And I asked them what they felt about it, and they said, we didn't know anything about it. It's a non-issue. So I think that element is dead. I think what has to happen is that the parks guys have to vote to approve that location.
Well, what is the location that was chosen? Because that's what I was kind of interested in finding out.
Well, it's the same one that they proposed. And I'm remembering someplace that I saw on the minutes.
The meeting up there that I was at, that was...
Oh, that was that.
Yeah.
So they're talking about putting a slab that would have bolts and the lantern would be mounted to that, and then there would be a cover over that would hide the bolts so that the deal is long range. They're talking about a potential reworking of that area in the master plan for the parks.
Okay.
So they were concerned. Somebody talked about ADA access. They're saying that Windburn Way could potentially become a one-way street, and that ADA parking would be in that area. So, if they're putting a slab down that the lantern's going to be mounted to, it would be relatively easy to remove that plaque, pour a slab somewhere else. So, it's not that the lantern is set in stone.
So to speak. That may be why I didn't get a notice is that, as I recall, I was still in a fog from coming back from the trip, but I said I did not like that location, and if another location were to be chosen, I wanted to be included. That may be why I was not included.
No, it was not. I can tell you that.
Okay.
Well, I personally talked to Mike about, you know, the disappointment in are not fully informing the applicant, and suggested that it be reconstituted, that meeting, but that it come out of parks and that they invite all of us.
Okay.
So if they failed to do that, it wasn't based on anything oversight.
Okay. I said, told Mike that I felt like the lantern needed to be grouped with other things of like size, that by sticking it out by itself in that one spot, it looked a little bit like a lighthouse on a rock.
Yeah.
And it just felt like it needed to be in communion with other objects. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, where would that be? I said, well, that was my only complaint. And he said, well, are you going to be mad at me if I go ahead and if we vote and approve that spot? I said, not at all.
It's your job.
You
know. Yeah.
I think they do the path of least resistance, you know, with regard to this stuff.
Isn't there a significant conversation that a redo of the Japanese garden is still very much on the table?
There was no mention of that, so
okay.
I have no official.
So I've heard in a roundabout way that is definitely not a dead deal.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering but I also know there's, and this is, I get way out of my league real quick, that just to follow up on you, that somehow that be not incorporated in, but be, I know it's not, but I mean, that it not be way off someplace else.
Yeah, I think there was a casual comment, wasn't it? Well, it would be a good place because, you know, it's on the way, mental
right,
center.
Right, yeah.
So what they talked to us about was, you know how the path ends, like, right across from the tennis court? They talked about maybe moving the path, if you're standing and looking at the tennis court, to the right and grading it up so that a wheelchair could come up mm-hmm. there. So another conversation was, well, where are the, oh, I guess the sculptor started talking about how he was stacking the interior so that it wouldn't deteriorate or turn green or anything like that. And so someone said, so where are the sprinklers? And the parks guy, the parks manager, was there and said, I don't know. He never looked at the sprinkler plan. And so they've approved it. And so, you know, who knows how the sprinklers play out.
Sounds like a work in progress.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Do you have enough that you need? Aren't you happy you asked?
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I'm really ready to adjourn.
Okay.
We are adjourned.
Sandy, a moment of your time before you take off?
Yes.
Not very long, just a minute.
Okay. Does everybody think they'll be here in July?
What's the date?
I'm not even sure we're going to have any business for July.
July 19th is the scheduled meeting.
If we don't have appreciable business, are you fine with canceling the meeting?
Oh, no, I want a meeting.
Hey. Snow day.
Yeah. All right, we'll look at it.
I think they have to school board at this. I know Dustin a couple of meetings.
Let's hope night, we don't have to call it a smoke day.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, bye.
See you guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you.